You know, the parables are like mirrors. You have to see yourself in them. Here's the question. How do you come to God in prayer? How do you come to God? You know, if many of us are really honest, number one, we don't even come to God in prayer. We do things and get them done, do whatever we need to do. So we are practicing atheists. We may be believing Christians, but we are practicing atheists. We don't come to God for our needs. But if we do, many of us are coming with a shameless attitude. We come saying something like, God, I'm coming to you, but I know I don't deserve anything. God, I so messed up my life. I've destroyed everything. And God, I'm coming. I'm not like Pastor Shaw, and I'm not like some of these people who really serve you and do for you. So I don't deserve anything. In fact, God, forget I even mentioned. Forget I even asked. Because I don't deserve. You know what, God? Bless everybody else. You know what God is, Jesus was saying to this parable is? This guy came and the other guy treated him as shameless. God the Father doesn't do that to you. When you come to him, he loves you. He wants to give you the very best. It's our own self-reflection that keeps us from coming to God. But God himself, he is our Heavenly Father who is willing to give us the best.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Desperate by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is simple: make Christ visible in everything that we do. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
We'll be looking at two parables of Jesus on prayer. And there are similarities between those parables, and there are also differences. But the point is the same. God eagerly hears the prayers of desperation by his children. He eagerly wants you to come and pray in desperation to him. And we as believers, his children, should eagerly expect the help from our Heavenly Father. And so this morning, we're going to learn what that means, that we can trust him. We can trust him that his answer is always best, and he does it in his way and in his timing. As I mentioned, two parables. The first one is from Luke chapter 11. If you want to go ahead and turn there, Luke chapter 11, and the second one is Luke chapter 18. We're going to see the first and then the second. If you want to go ahead and turn there, and the verses will be on the screen as well. And let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. The first one is Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. And he, meaning Jesus, said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you.' Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence." Now I want you to do something. If you do, take a pen and mark out that word persistence, because that is a wrong translation. The right translation is because of his shamelessness. I know that sounds weird, but we're going to see why that is important to understand and why that is the true meaning of that word. Yet because of his shamelessness, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, go to Luke chapter 18 for the second parable, starting in verse 1. "Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, 'There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? This morning we're going to see what the meaning of those two parables. But here's the question to all of you. Do you have a desperate need in your life? Something, maybe physically, something financially, something maybe even spiritually. You're praying for someone to be saved. Are you praying to God for those needs? Are you truly coming to God in desperation? If you're really honest, many of us, we believe in our mind what the gospel says, but we are practicing atheists. We believe that God can do everything, but when it comes to practicing, we say things like, don't get your hopes up. I don't want to ask for that because I don't want to be disappointed. Better not ask and be disappointed than to ask. You know, let's leave that alone. Is that you? Are you praying to God for those needs? And even more so, are you expecting an answer from your Heavenly Father? Are you truly expecting Him to answer? And is He your Heavenly Father? If He's not, today you can't have Him. And the way to have Him is receive Christ as your Savior. Wherever you are, if you've never prayed, if you've never sincerely prayed to ask God to save you through Jesus Christ, do it right now. You never know. I mean, just like Kurt's life, you never know when you'll be called home. So right now, if you've never given your heart to Christ, would you pray the simple prayer that says, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I need you to come into my life. I need you to save me. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. I turn. And I need you to take over my life. Be my king. Be my master. And then thank him for saving you. Tell him, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Both these parables that we just read from Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18, they're known as the how much more parables. They each tell a story and then they draw a contrast between the antihero in those two stories and how much more God will do for you. Now, sometimes people have come to these parables and they walk away thinking that this parable or these stories are about persisting in prayer. Don't give up and keep praying. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. And there is a place for that. Yes, you need to pray without failing. You need to keep knocking and keep asking God. There is a place for persisting prayer. But these two parables are not about that point. What is the point of the parables? The point is that God will do so much more for you compared to these antiheroes in these two stories. Compared to the sleeping friend and compared to the unjust judge, God will do so much more than you ask for. That is the point. Instead of doubting God, instead of wondering if you should come to Him like a child, the Bible says, come, trusting that He will do the best. It'll make more sense as we begin to walk through these two parables. So let's begin. Parable number one. What is the setting of this parable? We talked about this. It is friendship. We just read this passage. The parable is about friendship. Friendship. A friend goes to another friend at midnight to borrow 3 loaves of bread for another friend who has come over. The setting is friendship. How about parable number two? It is the court system. The court system. A widow is seeking justice and she is pestering this judge. Who is the antihero of this first parable? It is the sleeping friend. How do we know that he is an anti-hero, or you can say sort of a villain in this story? Listen to his response when his friend comes and says, "Hey, I need some bread. Can you please give me some bread because a buddy of mine has just showed up?" His answer is, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." Now, this is understandable. Back in those days, it was pretty much a one-room affair. So there you have dad, there you have the children, the mom, the grandparents. To get up and give this guy some bread, he has to climb over the kids. And some of y'all have little babies in your house. You know how it is. If they're woken up, you pretty much are spending the whole night taking care of those babies. So you can imagine. And then going to the area where the kitchen was supposed to be and trying to get some dough out. And I mean, it's a mess. So it's sort of understandable that he does not want to get up and help his friend who comes looking for bread. He is the anti-hero in this parable. How about on the other side? Who is the anti-hero? The judge, the unjust judge. What is his deal? Well, listen again to that story. It says, "He did not fear God, nor did he regard man." Now, he's a judge, so I understand why he does not fear man. I mean, he cannot have any person coming and intimidating him, even this widow pestering him. I mean, if it's not her property, he cannot say, "Well, you know, I'm just going to give it over to you." No, it's right in some ways that he does not regard man, but the first part is that he did not even fear God, which means what? He was totally heartless. He only did what made him happy. He did not fear God, nor did he regard man. What is the offense in the first parable? The offense is inhospitality. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. Inhospitality was not on the part of the sleeping friend. Inhospitality is against the guy who showed up looking for bread. You say, how do we know that? The clue hinges on the meaning of that one word that I pointed out to you in the beginning. Remember when I said, take your pen and mark out the word persistence and put in shamelessness? You know, the word there in the Greek is the word anedeia. Anedeia, typically translators have translated it as persistence or importunity. Persistence, you know what that means, just staying at it. Importunity is annoying persistence. Staying at it to the point that the person is annoyed and say, "Please leave me alone." It almost seems like the friend who is asking is kind of noble. He's just persisting because he has a need. And he is knocking on the door, persisting. But that's not the meaning of the word. It is shamelessness. And it's not a positive shamelessness. Like, I have a buddy come over, and I don't have any food, so man, I don't care. I'm going to knock on the door. I hear the dogs barking. I hear the babies crying. I see neighbors opening their windows and saying, "Please, keep it down. We're trying to sleep." Oh, I'm going to be shameless because I need some bread. That's not the point. That's really not the meaning of that word. It is always negative. The sleeping friend gave the bread because of the shamelessness of his friend. We're going to see what that truly means in just a few moments. But how about on the other side? What is the offense? It is delayed justice. It's not that the judge did not want to give justice. Listen to what it says again in verse 3. "She came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary,' and he would not for a while." He just wouldn't do it. Why wouldn't he do it? Now, if you were to go back into the city of New York back in the early part of the 1900s, most of the judges were on the take. They were taking bribe. The police were on the take. The judges were on the take, the attorneys were on the take, And so if somebody commits a crime with the mafia, what happens? Oh, they can call the police all they want to. Police may even come and arrest them, and they will take them to the court. But what happens? The judge will still do things in the favor of the mafia. Everybody was corrupt. More than likely, this judge was corrupt. He was expecting a bribe. Maybe he was in cahoots with the other side. We don't know. Maybe he was getting baseball tickets or something like that, if they had baseball back then. But you get the point. The setting is friendship. The setting is the court system. The antihero, the person who says, please don't bother me, is the sleeping friend. The antihero, of course, is the unjust judge. The offense here is inhospitality, but we will see how that is the case. But on the other side, it's obvious he is delaying justice because he wants some money. Somehow he's connected with the wrong people. What is the response? The response is that the sleeping friend ends up giving bread to the guy who woke him up, but he did it out of contempt. He did it out of contempt. You say, how do we know that? Listen to verse 8 again. I say to you, it says, I say to you that he will, though he will not rise, and if we can keep finding those verses, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his, not persistence, shamelessness. This guy ends up giving the bread to the guy who woke him up, but not because of friendship, but because of this guy's shamelessness. In other words, he gave it out of contempt, out of disgust, almost out of scorn. Again, I explained to you this shamelessness is not a positive word. It's not because the guy was shamelessly knocking and saying, look, I know you're going to look down on me, but I need bread. No, it was the other way around. Shamelessness was negative. You say, what exactly do you mean? The reason the friend gave the bread out of contempt is over his lack of inhospitality, lack of hospitality, lack of common courtesy. What he was really saying is, fine, I'll give it to you, but what an awful person you are. You have a friend coming, but you did not plan ahead. You did not plan to have enough bread for your friend, and now you're coming knocking on my door. You don't deserve this, but here you go. When the sleeping friend gave that bread to his buddy, he did it out of his shamefulness. It was not because he felt sorry for him. It was almost, you don't deserve anything. Get away. How about on the other side? Well, he did it out of annoyance. Why did he finally answer the widow's request? Listen to verse 5. Because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The judge ends up giving justice, but not because of justice. He is sick of her. She is pestering him. She is bothering him. Please go away. Now, please don't miss the point of these parables. Let's look at them again. The antihero is a sleeping friend. The antihero is the unjust judge. The offense is inhospitality, but not on his part, on the part of the one who came knocking on the door. The antihero here is the unjust judge, and the offense is that he is not giving justice. Why? Because he wants money. This guy ends up giving bread, but he does it because of his disgust over his friend coming over asking for bread. He does it because he's sick and tired of being bothered. What is the point? The point of the first parable is this: unlike the sleeping friend who gave out of contempt, God is our loving Father who gives us so much more. Y'all get what I'm saying? Here is this worthless guy who is talking down to somebody. God is so much kinder and gentler to us. It's the contrast. How far, how wide is the divide? How about on the other side? Unlike the unjust judge who gave verdict out of annoyance, God is a loving Father who seeks out to help us. Listen to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. This is powerful. Jesus says, if you then being evil, he was evil. It would be one thing for him to say, hey, look, I'm just not going to give you anything. It's quite different to give, but look down on the person as he's giving. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I mean, Holy Spirit, you can't get any bigger than that. God says, I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to send the second person of the Godhead to you. This guy, out of contempt. But God, out of his goodness and his grace, gives us the very best. This guy, out of annoyance. But God, because he's our heavenly Father, he will avenge us when we call upon him. You say, man, that's a lot of work. What is the point? You know, the parables are like mirrors. You have to see yourself in them. Here's the question. How do you come to God in prayer? How do you come to God? You know, if many of us are really honest, number one, we don't even come to God in prayer. We do things and get them done, do whatever we need to do. So we are practicing atheists. We may be believing Christians, but we are practicing atheists. We don't come to God for our needs. But if we do, many of us are coming with a shameless attitude. We come saying something like, God, I'm coming to you, but I know I don't deserve anything. God, I so messed up my life. I've destroyed everything. And God, I'm coming. I'm not like Pastor Shaw, and I'm not like some of these people who really serve you and do for you. So I don't deserve anything. In fact, God, forget I even mentioned. Forget I even asked, because I don't deserve. You know what, God? Bless everybody else. You know what Jesus was saying through this parable is? This guy came, and the other guy treated him as shameless. God the Father doesn't do that to you. When you come to him, he loves you. He wants to give you the very best. It's our own self-reflection that keeps us from coming to God. But God himself, he is our heavenly Father who is willing to give us the best. And then it says in verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it'll be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, are y'all still with me? If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Will God the Father say, oh, you want bread, you shameless, worthless thing? Get out of here because you don't follow me, you don't love me, you don't share the gospel. Go away. I'm not going to answer your prayer. Oh, no. Folks, that's how we can be sometimes. I know as a father, I do the best I can to always be gracious, but there are times. Any fathers here? Our love becomes conditional, doesn't it? We love, but okay, I'm going to do this for you, but I want you to know, you did not do your part. This is where God the Father is so different than us. How much more? Even when we mess up life, even when we are the source of all our problems, God doesn't say, fine, I'll give it to you, but get out of my face. Because he's God. He's loving. He's gracious. He says, no, keep coming. Listen to this. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a shameless friend? Or do you see yourself as the pestering widow? That's another problem. Many of us, when we come to God, we think God is this unjust judge who desires nothing but misery for us. I mean, his job is to make us miserable. I've even heard certain prayers like that. God, I know you want to break me. And I know you're trying to break me. It's like, God's trying to break you? Well, of course he will, but is that how you begin your prayer? God, I know it's a breaking process I'm growing through, and I know you're, God, I know that right now you don't want to, no, that's not your job. You come as a child and say, God, this is my need, because God is not the unjust judge who sits back and says, I'm going to make you squirm for a while because I want something from you. Give me that something, and then I will answer your needs. How many of y'all believe that that's how God answers prayers? You want me to answer you? All right, you know, first, let me have that. Let me have some money. Let me have your time. Let me have your gifts and talents. And then I am going to answer your need. What do you need now? Folks, do you really think that's how God operates in prayer? Because what you have done is you have created God in your image. That's what we do, right? I mean, that's as a pastor, I do too. You want my time? Well, start serving in church. I do that too. You want me to give you this ministry? Well, start showing up for the ministry. I don't know how God works, but he's like, no, I'll still answer their needs and theirs and theirs and theirs. I wish I could talk God out of it. I wish I could tell him, stop answering their needs. But he's God. He does not answer because the way we think, because he is God. He is gracious. My challenge to you this morning is, how do you pray? How do you see your heavenly Father? Do you doubt his love and his mercy? Do you think he looks down on you when you ask in desperation? Does he give you so you would stop pestering him? He is a loving Father. He wants you to come and ask what's on your heart. He wants you to believe that he will answer. He will not call you shameless. He will not call you a pest. He wants you to seek and eagerly expect the best. And he does it. God is gracious. He is merciful. He is loving. He is kind, even when we're not. And he always gives us far more than we ask for. But you have to step out and trust him. Seek and knock and ask. Don't just sit on the shore.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Many times when we pray, we try to give God a back door so he can get out of answering our prayers, just in case he doesn't give us what we want. But God is our loving Father. And like a father, he wants us to ask him earnestly for the desires of our heart. Spend some time growing your prayer life today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.